regulations, which I do have and I have read, and I interpreted them to mean that we do go back to Gramm-Leach-Bliley. It's the division's position that we do as well, that opt-out provision is available to the consumer when the privacy notices go out on an annual basis. They have the option at that point in time to opt out of this disclosure. So I would speak against Amendment number 3.
Any further discussion? Ready for the question. Representative Davies.
Speaker, speaking in favor of the amendment, whether or not we default back to whatever that federal law is, what this would do would make it, from our point of view, opt-in. And I think that's a good thing to do.
Representative Davies, further discussion? Ready for the question. Question before the body. It's the adoption of Amendment number 3. Members may proceed to vote. Will the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk?
15 yeas, 22 nays.
And so Amendment number 3 has failed to pass the House. Returning then to third reading, Representative Berkowitz.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. And I rise, actually, the request to go back to second reading for an amendment that's being prepared based on the debate that occurred with Amendment number 2.
Brief at ease. Your order. Representative Berkowitz.
Thank you very much, Mr. Speaker. I ask your indulgence, as I indicated before, in listening to the debate on House Amendment 2, I came up with this idea for number 4, so I'd ask permission to return to second.
Without objection, we'll go back to second reading for the consideration of purposes of consideration of Amendment number 4. Representative Berkowitz.
I move Amendment 4. Object.
There is objection. Representative Berkowitz.
Mr. Speaker, I mean, what we have in the bill as currently configured is that someone who intentionally violates the bill is liable to a depositor for actual damages. Well, what that means is the actual damage for someone misappropriating my information can be fairly minimal. And it doesn't allow for redress if there's some kind of reckless conduct where an institution would leave records available or distribute them without proper safeguard. And in terms of actual damages, there are no actual damages to speak of. It's negligible. And so I think an individual whose privacy has been invaded ought to have recourse to seek proper redress. And with the way it's currently configured, that's not practically possible.
Representative Bogan.
Thank you. Better known as the Lawyer Employment Amendment.
Representative McGuire.
Mr. Speaker, I rise in support of the amendment, and I just want to make one thing real clear. I mean, I'm not an opponent of small Alaska banks. I think they're great. I bank at Northrum. But I think that the interests of the consumer and the interests of the business have to be balanced. And we have decided to broaden this up by not adopting the previous two amendments. And if we're going to keep it that broad, I think that we need to make sure that the recourse then is high if you abuse the discretion that you have. So I think it's a good amendment, and I stand in support of it.
Representative Rockford.
I stand against this amendment, Mr. Speaker, primarily because I think we're entering a new area of law because of GLEBA, the Fair Credit Reporting Act, and the new state requirements here. How this is going to sort itself out, we need a little bit of time to make sure we're doing it right or doing it wrong. And I think there's going to be errors made by financial institutions that might be called into question. But when they make the error, they may make it to every one of their customers, so it could be a compounded thing. So if they actually do something and it maybe violates the privacy, and the actual damages will be to almost every part of their customer base, not just one single individual. So I think that the intentional is a pretty low standard, I think, and not accurate.
Representative Roper. Any further discussion? Any further discussion by a member who has not spoken to this amendment? Representative Coghill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to speak in favor of it, mainly because I think it is a balancing act between, as we're making policy calls, to allow business to operate freely, but also to make sure that the consumer is protected. And I think at this particular juncture, if a person making an application, even for an opt-out, inadvertently makes a mistake on the form, by default, they don't get any recourse. And so I think, you know, holding the industry to the same standard is important. So I would speak in favor of the amendment.
Representative Curtula and then Murkowski.
speaker. I think I heard, not the previous, but the speaker before him speak and say that intentional was a low standard, and that's the highest standard you can have in the law is intentionally. I mean, you have to absolutely know exactly what you're doing for it to be intentional. It's the absolute highest. So I think, and I could stand to be corrected, that without any language in that the mental state is knowingly, which is still pretty high. So I think that this is a good amendment. But you sort of also raise the point of why shouldn't the person be able to get damages and recompensed if a mistake has been made like this, even if it was unknowingly. I mean, it doesn't stand to me that you would hurt the consumer. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Murkowski.
Mr. Speaker, just wanted to put on the record that in a very brief conversation with the division, they don't have any great hardship with the deletion of intentional or actual.
Any further discussion? Representative Elgin.
Move to divide the question.
I was hoping somebody didn't do that because it is divisible. My guess would be page 3, line 31 is A, and B would be page 4, line 1. Okay. Is there discussion further on Amendment 4A, which is line 3, or page 3, line 31, deleting the word intentionally? Without that, the issue before the body is the adoption of Amendment 4A. And as soon as we get that in there, members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
32 yeas, 5 nays.
And so Amendment 4A has passed the House. That brings before us Amendment 4B, which is page 4, line 1, deleting the word actual. Further discussion? Members may proceed to vote. Clerk, please lock the roll. Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
25 yeas, 12 nays.
And so, 4B passes the House. We are now back to third reading. Any further discussion? Ready? Representative Hogan.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'll try to be brief. I know this has been an arduous debate today on this bill. Have a couple of questions. I'm a little uncomfortable with page 2, section 4, lines 22 to 24. It gives administrative agency of competent jurisdictions, doesn't list who they might be. It gives pretty broad administrative powers by regulation to nose around in my public affairs, or my private affairs, I should say, and make them public. I don't know what they're going to do with it. And that whole section is enabled by page 3, lines 5 through 21. And I guess I'm wondering why there's such broad powers of administration. I'm sure there's wonderful reasons why they need to look into my private affairs, but not sure I always trust government that much to give them that broad of authority. And so that's probably the one area of the bill that'll cloud my judgment on whether or not I can vote yes or no on this. Thank you.
Representative Ogre. Any further discussion? Representative Murkowski.
In response to the prior speaker, for instance, if you have a subpoena that the bank has to respond to, they may be the disclosure may be necessary in accordance with number 2, and you'll see that in subsection C as well. That's probably as much as good an example as I can think of at this point in time.
Representative Roberton.
Mr. Speaker, regarding this, this is to avoid fishing expeditions and discovery and other legal proceedings where literally van loads of boxes and records could be demanded from a financial institution without reimbursement for reasonable costs. Mr. Speaker, I think I support this bill. It, for the first time, this doesn't weaken Alaskan law. It strengthens Alaskan law. And it dovetails with the Graham Leach Bliley and the Fair Credit Act. And we can all be proud to protect the consumers of the state by enacting this bill today.
Representative Roper. Further discussion? Representative Murkowski and wrap-up.
No wrap-up, no discussion, Mr. Speaker. I just need to declare a conflict as I am on the board of a bank, and I am a shareholder of a couple banks.
There's objection. Representative Roper.
Shareholder in Alaskan banks, Mr. Speaker.
There's objection. Representative, your vote. All will be required to vote. Are we ready for the question? The question before the body is the passage of committee substitute for HB 106, Labor and Commerce Amended. And well debated. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
37 yeas, 2 nays.
So committee substitute for HB 106, Labor and Commerce Amendment, has passed the House. Madam Speaker, Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the bill be considered the roll call vote on the court rule change amending Rule 45, Alaska Rules of Civil Procedure, Rule 17 and 37, Alaska Rules of Criminal Procedure, and Rule 24, Alaska Bar Rules.
Without objection, the court rules have been changed, adopted. Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the bill be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause has also been adopted. Will the clerk please read the next item?
House Bill 108 by the House Rules Committee by request of the Governor entitled An Act Relating to the Accounting for and Appropriation of Fees for Recording and Related Services by the Department of Natural Resources and Providing for an Effective Date. The Resources Committee considered the bill, recommending Dupas, Crotula, Fate, Green, Chenault, Stevens, Scalzi, no recommendation, McGuire. The report was signed by Scalzi, co-chair. The Finance Committee considered the considered the bill, recommending Dupas, Harris, Whitaker, Croft, Davies, Moses, Lancaster, Hudson, Foster, Mulder, Williams. Do not pass, Bundy. I have no amendments, Mr. Speaker.
Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Bill 108 be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we are in third reading. Would the clerk please read the title for the third and final time?
House Bill 108 by the House Rules Committee by request of the Governor entitled An Act Relating to the Accounting for and Appropriation of Fees for Recording and Related Services by the Department of Natural Resources and Providing for an Effective Date.
Discussion. Representative Hudson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm pleased to carry this legislation. House Bill 108 is patterned after last year's House Bill 418, which is program receipts, in which similarly situated programs were switched to a receipt-supported service funding source, like occupational licensing and ASME. This legislation would take the recorder's office fees and separately account for them in the budget itself or within the by the state itself. It does not set up a dedicated fund. It sets up an account within the general fund. It would still require the recorder's office submit its annual operating and capital budget for legislative appropriation. We believe that it will provide a stable source of funds from the fees paid by the customers for the services provided by the recording office. It will make the organization more accountable to its customers and allow the state to demonstrate the full cost of the program to its customers. There's support from the Credit Union League, the Alaska Miners Association, Alaska's Association of Realtors, Alaska Land Title Association, and the Alaska Bankers Association. And I believe this is good legislation, and I would ask people to vote for it. Be prepared to answer any questions.
Representative Hudson. Representative Bundy.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I rise to oppose the bill. Mr. Speaker, there was testimony in committee that the recorder's office, office generates about $4 million, but they only get budgeted about $1.4 million, I guess it is. And, of course, the initial reaction might be if they are charging more than they are using to run their department, maybe they're charging people too much. There were further testimony that they wanted to go outside, I guess, a more traditional budgetary process because even the administration was not putting their projects on a priority list. And I think the bottom line here is, Mr. Speaker, is if you vote for this bill, it's a vote to increase the budget for the recorder's office. I'll be amazed if it, and welcome any I told you so's, if it doesn't end up at $4 million next year, nearly a $2 million increase.
Does anybody, any further discussion? Representative Curtula.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I spent about 3 hours last year down trying to look up records at the recorder's office on microfiche for our church, and it was a mind-boggling experience going back. Those records are going to literally self-destruct at some point, and if the recorder's office doesn't have the ability to be able to maintain the records, none of us are going to be able to complete a title search or do a lot of other necessary things. I don't think they're going to be looking for more than what they need to run it, but they certainly need an increase or they're not going to be able to maintain the records that we all need and rely on. Thank you.
Seeing no further discussion, are we ready for the question? Question before the body. Shall HB 108 pass the House? Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Representative James? Eight and A. Would anyone else wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
32 yeas, 6 nays.
So HB 108 has passed the House. Madam Majority Leader.
Well, Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the bill be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Would the clerk please read the next item?
House Bill 157 by Representative Murkowski, entitled An Act Relating to Trust Companies and Providers of Fiduciary Services, amending Rules 6 and 12, Alaska Rules of Civil Procedure, Rule 40, Alaska Rules of Criminal Procedure, and Rules 204, 403, 502, 602, and 611, Alaska Rules of Appellate Procedure, and providing for an effective date. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 157, Labor and Commerce, with the new title, recommending Dupas, Roeckberg, and Murkowski. No recommendation, Halcrow, Crawford, and Meyer. A zero fiscal note was attached. The report was signed by Murkowski, Chair. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 157, Judiciary, with the new title, attaches the previous zero fiscal note, recommending Dupas, Roeckberg. No recommendation, Berkowitz, Meyer, Coghill, and James. The report was signed by Roeckberg, Chair. There are two committee substitutes, Mr. Speaker.
Madam Majority Leader.
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent that the Judiciary Committee substitute for House Bill 157 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, we have the Judiciary Committee substitute before us. Do we have amendments?
Amendment number one by Representative Berkowitz to page 3, line 27.
Representative Berkowitz. Without objection, amendment number one is adopted. Clerk, have any other amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the CS for House Bill 157, Judiciary, as amended, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There is objection. This bill will appear in tomorrow's calendar in third reading. Would members please retain their copies? Briefities. House, please come back to order. For the information of the body, HB 260 is going to have to be rolled until later this afternoon, probably 5 o'clock, because there is some progressive work going on with it. We will endeavor to take 228 up at this time, which supposedly will not take long, so we'll be out of here in a short while. Supposedly. Will the clerk please read the next item?
House Bill 228 by Representatives Harris, Meyer, Hayes, Whitaker, Hudson, Murkowski, Curtula, and Crawford, entitled An Act Relating to the Offense of Selling or Giving Tobacco to a Minor, to the Accounting of Fees from Business License Endorsements for Tobacco Products, to the Disclosure of Certain Confidential Cigarette and Tobacco Product Information, to Notification Regarding the Cigarette Manufacturer's Noncompliance with the Tobacco Product Master Settlement Agreement, to Business License Endorsements for sale of tobacco products to citations and penalties for illegal sale of tobacco products and providing for an effective date. The Labor and Commerce Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 228, Labor and Commerce, with a new title, attaches 3 fiscal notes and 1 0 fiscal note, recommending do pass Crawford, Hayes, Meyer, Roachberg, and Murkowski, amend COT. The report was signed by Murkowski Chair. The Judiciary Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 228, Judiciary, with the new title, attaches 3 previous notes and 1 0 note, recommending do pass Meyer, no recommendation, Kukesh, Coghill, and Roachberg. The report was signed by Roachberg Chair. The Finance Committee considered the bill, recommends it be replaced with Committee Substitute for House Bill 228, Finance, with the new title, attaches a fiscal note and two previous fiscal notes and 1 previous 0 note, recommending do pass Bundy, Whitaker, Harris, Croft, Davies, Moses, Lancaster, Hudson, Foster, Mulder, Williams. The report was signed by Mulder and Williams, co-chairs. There are 3 committee substitutes.
Madam Majority Leader.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the Finance Committee substitute for House Bill 228 with a new title be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
Without objection, we have the Finance Committee substitute before us. Do we have amendments?
Amendment number 1 by Representative Hayes to page 3, line 6.
Representative Hayes.
Yes, Mr. Speaker, I'd like to move amendment number 1.
There is objection. Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, when we heard this bill in Labor and Commerce, there was a suggestion that folks were buying this tobacco endorsement and they were not using it. And I think that an increase from a $25 fee for endorsement to a $100 fee is an unduly increase. I think that folks who currently have this endorsement will not get this endorsement if they don't sell tobacco. And I think that a 300% increase in a tax is just unreasonable. I think that to increase this by $25 to match the price of the business license would be much more prudent, and I just would like people to support Amendment number 1. Thank you.
Representative Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. First of all, this I rise in opposition to the amendment. The $25 is for 2 years, $12.50 a year, which for most businesses that sell tobacco, that's pretty insignificant. One of the businesses in my hometown of Valdez told me they sell $60,000 worth of tobacco a month. I don't know if that's accurate, but that's what I was told. So my guess is that $100 per 2 years is not an exorbitant amount and could even be higher. I'm not for trying to hurt businesses, but what we're trying to do here is attract more attention to businesses that sell tobacco, and especially that sell tobacco to minors illegally. So I'm getting off the amendment there, but I oppose the amendment.
Any further discussion? Representative Cott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'm going to rise in support of the amendment. As was mentioned by the maker of the amendment, there was some testimony in the committee from the department that indicated that there were several hundred people who had endorsements in the state who actually weren't using them, but they were, in fact, paying the $25 for that endorsement, the $12.50 each year. And I believe that if we increase this to $100, many of those people will opt not to continue that endorsement. So I think there will be some lost revenue to the state. I also want to bring to attention the body that in Section 4 of the bill, we're now requiring that each individual retailer who sells tobacco products will now be required to have a separate endorsement for each one of those facilities. And Mr. Speaker, I believe that an increase from the existing $25 to $100 will be onerous and small business, and I don't believe that we should be charging any more than what we charge currently for a business license, and that is $25 every year. So it's $50 for a business license every 2 years, and that's what this amendment does. It puts it on a level playing field with the current business license. So I would urge the body to support the amendment.
Representative Davies.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I guess the evidence that this is de minimis with respect to these businesses is that many of them have the endorsement and don't even sell tobacco. Secondly, this is a problem for the department because they have to sort through all the in checking out who's selling and whether they're following the rules. They have to go to many of these businesses to find out whether or not they're actually selling. And so if you raise the fee a little bit and it causes people to pay a little bit more attention to whether they actually need the endorsement or not, it actually saves the department money because they don't have to sort through those people that have the endorsement but don't actually sell. So and we won't lose any money because while some people who are presently paying will drop off, other people who need the endorsement will stay on with an increased amount. So the actual amount of revenue will slightly increase. The revenue is actually pretty trivial, I think, especially if you compare it to $60,000 a month. So I think it's just a question of having a fee that makes some sense and actually causes people to decide whether or not they really want it.
Representative Davies. Any further discussion? Ready for the question? Question before the body is the adoption of Amendment Number 1. Members may proceed to vote. Would the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
8 yeas, 30 nays.
And so amendment number 1 has failed to pass the House. Does the clerk have any other amendments?
I have no further amendments.
Madam Majority Leader.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the CS for House Bill 228, Finance, be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
Without objection, we are in third reading. Would the clerk please read the title for the third and final time?
CS for House Bill 228, Finance, entitled An Act Relating to the Accounting of Fees from Business License Endorsements for Tobacco Products to the Disclosure of Certain Confidential Cigarette and Tobacco Product Information to Notification Regarding a Cigarette Manufacturer's Noncompliance with the Tobacco Product Master Settlement Agreement to Business License Endorsements for Sale of Tobacco Products to Citations and Penalties for Illegal Sales of Tobacco Products and Providing for an Effective Date.
Discussion. Representative Harris.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill, House Bill 228, arises out of a problem that has been going on for some period of time about the state not being in compliance with federal regulations that have to do actually with alcohol grants that come to the state. There's a penalty in federal law. It's called the Sinar penalty, which the state has recently come under, and it reduces the state's federal receipts by $1.5 million because of a problem that we're out of compliance for the sale of tobacco products statewide to minors. And the requirement is that we not sell over 20% of the over 20% of minors who may go in to attempt to purchase tobacco products. And in some areas of the state, we're over 60% success rate for a minor that goes in and attempts to buy tobacco. So we have a lot of work to do to try and reduce that, and that's what this bill attempts to do. Not only do we spend a little over $500,000 in our enforcement efforts, but by doing that, the state has entered into an agreement with the federal government that they can receive, through this measurement of effort, they can receive the $1.5 million federal money. So that's one issue. There's a couple of other issues that were just talked about in the amendment, but we've increased the fines to businesses, and we haven't increased the clerk's fine. The clerks, if they in fact sell to a minor, they receive a $300 fine. The businesses, the fines have been increased from the first offense, $300, and a 20-day suspension of their endorsement to sell tobacco. And then it increases, and in the fourth year, it's $2,500 and 1 year suspension. For some of these businesses in the state that sell a lot of tobacco products, that's pretty significant. So we're certainly trying to increase the awareness of selling tobacco to minors. And as was previously mentioned in the amendment as well, there's individual endorsements for each site that they sell tobacco at. So if a business such as gas station or whatever that has a convenience store at it, each one of those sites has to receive their own endorsement. So that if one gas station, for instance, were to be out of compliance, you wouldn't shut them all down. So just gives them the leeway. It's really an attempt, Mr. Speaker, to focus more attention on the easily accessibility in some areas of the state for minors to acquire tobacco products. And I think it's like we've talked about in alcohol and other things, it's a very serious problem statewide, and especially in rural Alaska, where we really are trying to focus more attention. So I encourage your support. Thank you.
Dave Harris. Representative Murkowski.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I appreciate the sponsor introducing this. In the testimony in Labor and Commerce, one of the things that I found most compelling when they were talking about where they would do kind of these sting operations, if you will, and to test the success rate that a minor can actually purchase tobacco. As the sponsor has indicated, there are some areas of the state where they had over 60% success rate for minors, young kids. And as I recall the testimony of the officer, he says, you know, they're not just using kids that are close to that 18, they're talking about 15, 16-year-olds going in and actually successfully being able to purchase the alcohol. And even more compelling than that was, excuse me, tobacco, I've got alcohol in the brain, as the individual would say back there. But the no comment. Where they had greater success in purchasing tobacco as minors were in smaller communities where there were 9 establishments or less, is what I recall the number to be. So in the smaller communities where you assume that everybody knows everybody, and that so-and-so is related to so-and-so over there, and you just celebrated his birthday last week, so you know he's 16 years old, with an absolute disregard to the law and to the consequences of underage kids smoking. And so I think it is very important that there be some teeth in this, and the sponsor has certainly made sure that, that it is there, and hopefully we can make some progress in the area. Thank you.
Representative Murkowski. Any further discussion? Representative Hogan.
Just wanted to make a note for the record that this legislature will go down being known as the legislature of alcohol, tobacco, and firearms.
Any further discussion? Representative Coghill.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. We did hear this in the Judiciary Committee, and one of the things that troubles me, and I wasn't too sure how to handle moving through the process of this bill, was the authority that is going to be given to the Department of Health and Social Services. They get to implement regulations, write citations, and decide what those citations are, and have the power to send people to court. So they get to make the law, be kind of the judge and the jury, and I'm just troubled by that. And so Section 10 is very troubling to me, and I couldn't change it in committee. The compelling need for this is certainly there, but I'm just troubled by the authority. I just want to put it on the record that we are handling a big hammer and a precedent of authority that that I think we ought to be very careful for, and I'm not going to support the bill just because of it. I think we need to come back at it and work it over a little bit more. I understand we're doing it to get some federal money, but we're also doing this to our own people. So we just want to be careful as we go down this road, and I'm not ready to forward this bill on just yet.
Representative Cochran. Representative Roberg, and then Davies.
Mr. Speaker, this issue that was raised by the last speaker from North Pole was discussed at great length in the Judiciary Committee. And frankly, Mr. Speaker, you have to understand the enforcement obligations, which now rest in the Department of Health and Social Services. They don't rest in the Department of Public Safety. I mean, we did amend this in the committee to require that the commissioner designate somebody. If you look at the prior version, it just said the commissioner had the right. But we have a designee. As a practical matter, Mr. Speaker, there is an individual who is tasked with the responsibility of the enforcement of these laws within that department. If we're going to expand that, just because we're concerned about a non-law enforcement officer issuing citations for violations, I think we're carrying the whole argument of due process a little bit too far. As a matter of fact, the individual that has that responsibility now has a law enforcement background. Of course, that could change. But what the department does normally, they contract with trained law enforcement officers for the majority of the stings. In terms of supervision, when they take youth in to make the purchases, and so the majority of this will be implemented through trained law enforcement officers at this juncture, and I think that's an adequate thing in terms of its safeguard. The citation, if you receive a citation, you go to court, so they're not the judge and jury and everything else. There is due process protections here.
Further discussion? Representative Davies?
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Well, I think the bottom line in this bill for me is, you know, as was indicated, the rate of success is remarkably high in these sting operations. Statewide, the average is 30%. And what that constitutes, I think, Mr. Speaker, is our citizens doing it to our kids. And so I think that we need to adopt this, and hopefully, I mean, the issues of the federal hammer and all that, you know, that's one issue. But the real issue is there's too many kids that are being sold cigarettes right now, and we do need to tighten that down, and this bill does that, and I'll support it for that reason.
President Cott.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I agree with many of the comments that the Judiciary Chairman mentioned. I also agree with the member from District 32 who spoke on providing some additional enforcement powers to the agency. I believe that is one of my biggest concerns in this piece of legislation. And we heard testimony in Labor and Commerce that there is a very confident, competent individual who is currently involved with this section. However, that can change. And we're we're asking an individual to issue citations based on probable cause. That's a standard that someone's going to have to be in a field that has that background, such as law enforcement. Mr. Speaker, even when you go a bit further, you look at some of the areas of the law in which they can issue that citation based on probable cause, and it talks about reckless, negligent. So we even get into another fuzzy area. So I would just hope that the department continues to utilize experienced people with law enforcement background when they assign individuals to do these kinds of things in the future. I think it is a good piece of legislation. Absent my minor concern, I do intend on supporting it, and I would urge the body to. Thank you.
Further discussion? Ready for the question? Question before the body is, shall committee substitute for HB 228 finance? Pass the House. Members may proceed to vote. Will the clerk please lock the roll? Would any member wish to change his or her vote? Representative Ruppert? Will the clerk please lock the roll? Any member wish to change his or her vote? Madam Clerk.
35 yeas, 3 nays.
The committee substitute for HB 228 finance has passed the House. Madam Majority Leader?
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the bill be considered the roll call vote on the effective date clause.
Without objection, the effective date clause is adopted. Recess until 5.
We will recess until 5.
Brief at ease. No. Could you belay that for just a second? Representative Mulder.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. If we could go to announcements just briefly, because it's only mentioned in passing. We
Without
will have
objection.
The conference committee is meeting at 3 o'clock this afternoon in the other body's finance room. To work on administration, community economic development, and the university. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Mulder. Representative Rookberg.
Mr. Speaker, the Judiciary Committee will delay till 2 p.m. We have one bill to take up, and that'll give us time for lunch.
Representative Williams. No. No. We need a motion to recess until...
Okay, Mr. Speaker, I move that we
recess
until 5 p.m.
Without objection, we're in recess until 5. No, that just rolled over to tomorrow. Yeah. Madam Majority Leader, we need a motion to adjourn.
Oh, Mr. Speaker, I move we adjourn until tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. May 1st.
Without objection, we're adjourned.